This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get to these Ask Dr. Jesse questions. We have tons and tons and tons. Dear Dr. Jesse, a young woman I know interviewed for a job today at our public library in a mid-sized town in Idaho. Moscow is the name of the town, by the way. She told me that she doesn't think she'll get the job because of how she answered the question, would you direct a 10-year-old to information on transgender teens? I praised her for sticking to her principles. How can we take back the public library in our town? Thank you for all you do to teach us how to be anti-communists. Listen about your libraries. Listen. Almost everywhere. Well, in many places. I'll put it to you that way. In many places, there is a county-level library supervisory board. The library board. Your county probably has a library board. You probably didn't even know it existed. That library board, it's hugely powerful as far as determining what goes in and what stays out of your public library. Hiring, firing, all kinds of things. And once again, we don't even know about it. The communists got in there, and that's the first place he went. If he wasn't teaching your kid kindergarten, he was heading right to the public library board. Why? Because it, again, it's a choke point. They seek out choke points. And don't feel bad that we didn't know. Last year, I didn't know. You know, we're all learning as we go along. These people worship it. It's their religion, so they do know. Why? Why? Why are these things in your public library in your nice red area like Moscow, Idaho? Why is there a child drag show in my red area? We're all Republicans around here. The communist seeks out choke points. That way, he doesn't have to worry that he's a minority. Remember, the communist has made an adjustment. He has made an adjustment from the very, very, from the earliest times, from the Bolshevik Revolution. The communist figured out that he's not popular and his policies are not popular, and they never have been and they never will be. How could they ever be popular? What do you want to do? I want to destroy everything. What's your stance on the border? Open it up. Flood the country with a bunch of illegals. What about abortion? Oh, kill them all. Shoot, kill them after they're born. Taxes? Oh, those should be high, right? I mean, everything's horrible about it, right? Even in the Soviet, even in Russia, when the communists, when the Bolsheviks kind of took over, they said, hey, we're going to have free elections. We'll have a Congress here. And they had this big election. And this is when everyone hated the Tsar, keep in mind. People didn't like the Tsar. They had this election. The communists got 25% of the vote. After that, they just said, okay, no more free elections. The communist knows he's not popular, so he's made an adjustment. He doesn't stress popularity. He doesn't stress appealing to the masses. He finds choke points in a society. Choke points, meaning areas where everyone has to get filtered through this little area. Why would a communist become a kindergarten teacher? They're all over the place being teachers, especially of young kids now. Why? Why are they doing that? They don't have some passion for children. Why? Well, no matter how big your area is, almost all the kids in the area, besides the homeschoolers, are going to be put into the public school system and filtered through that area. He found a choke point and he grabbed it. It's why he did it in the public libraries. These people desperately want to shatter your child morally, emotionally. They do. They want your child who has values, who's been taught right and wrong. They need that child broken in two. They need them broken away from you, broken away from themselves, shattered physically, mentally, and emotionally, because a shattered person like that will be a reliable communist foot soldier for the rest of their life. A stable person from a stable home, he's virtually impossible for the communists to recruit. You know, we make fun of, obviously, women voting and stuff like that on the show because the show is wildly offensive and inappropriate. But do keep this in mind. Married women vote Republican. Something like 60-some percent. It's single women that vote. It's almost 70%, I believe, Democrat. Families do not produce communists. Broken families do. So they're trying to break your kids. Okay, so they want to break your kids. There are wolves. They see your kids. They want to go after them. They want to tell your daughter to chop her breasts off at 15 just to destroy her. But they can't get inside your home. What? How do I get there? Hey, what about the public library? I mean, it's the public library, right? Totally innocent. Free books. Who doesn't love some free books? Oh, look, we'll start a kids section here in the public library. Oh, what's this? This is a book teaching 10-year-old girls they can be boys. Maybe I'll slip this little book here in the kids section of the public library. You would never think that way because you're not a sick, demented, demonic freak. But the communist does think that way. The communist does think that way. I'm going to play it for you again. Speaking of libraries, I might let it play this time, even though it's really long, because it's pretty revealing. The American Library Association, which, let's be honest, before last night's show, you didn't even know that was a thing. Yet it is a thing, and it's a very powerful thing. It has a president. The president of the American Library Association is Emily Drabinsky. The public libraries in this country, who's the president of them? This person.
There are no public concerns about libraries grooming children. That is an extremist view of libraries. Almost no one in the public shares that view.
In my vision of a socialist future, our systems for sharing are robust. Libraries need to be seen as a terrain of struggle for those of us on the left.
And it becomes difficult to think about law as something of the sort of real thing that needs to be complied with.
It's fun and frothy to read about gay people doing gay things. I have a right to read those materials, and the library has an obligation to provide those to me.
The family, marriage, and home. And for those of us whose queerness includes the subversion of those kinds of normal family types, this ideological story excludes us.
Just hold on. You did hear that part, right? For those of us whose queerness, it makes us subvert the family home. She said it. She said the words. I'm going to try to rewind this just so you can hear it again. I want you to listen to this part. This is the president of the American Public or the American Library Association.
I'm rewinding,
Chris. I nailed it. Got it.
It's fun and frothy to read about gay people doing gay things. I have a right to read those materials, and the library has an obligation to provide those to me.
The family, marriage, and home. And for those of us whose queerness includes the subversion of those kinds of normal family types, this ideological story excludes us.
It makes it hard to sort of make the decision to buy a book, make the decision to host a drag queen story hour, make the decision to include a gay book in your collection. Like, it makes it very, very scary because you could be, there have been bills passed to put a bounty on librarians' heads for circulating child pornography.
Bisexuality, homosexuality, and lesbianism, those are listed in the classification as two different things. Transvestism, transsexualism. And then we move to sort of more socially, you can see it as sort of progressing from socially best and most acceptable to least acceptable. sadism, masochism, fetishism, prostitution, and then masturbation. And I think it depends on how the cultural moment views masturbation, but to see it in this list.
I'm going to let her keep going. Just want you to keep in mind why your public library children's section is rancid filth. Here's why.
It tells us something about how it was viewed at the time that the classification was developed.
Yeah. These people find choke points in a society and they take them. Look, we talk all the time about how we all have to do something, right? Whether it's working for a candidate, donating time, donating money, running yourself. I really want to encourage you to do that. We have to do something. Just don't do nothing. Do something. Maybe that something is in the library. And when I say that, I know that's not sexy, right? When you tell someone to run for office, it's actually pretty easy to get someone to run for senator or something like that. Who doesn't want to be a senator? Look at me, Mr. Big Shot, with my suit on. I got this big staff. Life's good. Nobody's patting you on the back or asking you for a selfie for their Instagram when you're on the Public Library Association. Nobody. No one cares. No one knows about you. But you're more important than the senator is. These are the things that we have to take back in our communities right now. We must fortify. We must make our communities a citadel. And part of that is this stuff. All right? All right. Someone has some questions about Marine Corps boot camp. There's a Californian who's trapped. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Republicans, Republicanism, the Republican Party. Can it be saved? Should it be saved? All that and so much more is here yet to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show.
Changing people's lives.
Every single day. But first, allow me to do this for you.
We're changing people's lives.
A male vitality stack, gentlemen. A male vitality stack. Tired in the afternoon, aren't you? Ladies, you too. Afternoon hits 3-4 o'clock. I know what you're doing. You go get to the pot of coffee. Why? Out of gas, man. It's tired. Always need to nap. You know that you can fix that, right? A male vitality stack or a female vitality stack from Chalk. 3 months. Give it 90 days. Go take it for 90 days. If you don't feel markedly better, I want you to cancel it. And they make canceling the subscription easy, by the way. They don't make you jump through any hoops there. You're going to have your life changed. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off that subscription. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let's take a little break from politics here. Here's a doozy of an Ask Dr. Jesse question. Oracle, my nephew from Utah just signed up for the Marines today. Do you have any tips or tricks surviving boot camp and onwards? Well, I don't know if you need any tips or tricks from an average grunt Marine, but I will give you just a couple pointers that I found helped me out. One, don't volunteer for anything. Nothing. Now, let me explain, Chris. See, this is what people don't understand who haven't been through it. Here's what happens. You know, part of the reason, have you ever been on a military base of any kind, especially a Marine Corps base? Have you ever been on a Marine Corps base? All right, you, Chris and Michael haven't, you freaking children. Have you ever seen one in the movies? You've ever seen one? Immaculate, is it not? The grass, every blade of grass is perfect. There's no litter. There's no nothing. Everything's immaculate at all times. Do you know why everything's always immaculate on the base? Because they have a gigantic force of labor they can use to do whatever they want, whenever they want to do it. That is why it's always immaculate. They want it immaculate. They have this sea of people who don't have the option of saying, no, sir, I don't think I feel like picking up garbage today. And so they will recruit you without end to do the most horrible, boring stuff imaginable. When your nephew's in boot camp, when you're in boot camp, every single day, multiple times a day, at least that's the way I remember it, you're going to hear the drill instructor say, I need 2 volunteers. He's going to want to raise his hand to impress the drill instructor. Don't. And then the drill instructor is going to elevate his voice and he's going to yell because people won't volunteer because they'll learn that volunteering sucks. And that's when your nephew will be tempted to break and say, no, this is the moment. He's getting mad. I have to volunteer. He's getting mad. No, let someone else volunteer. Always let someone else volunteer without exception. You never volunteer. If he's staring at you right in the eye and saying, I need a volunteer, you'd better find a reason why you can't volunteer. What, Michael? Is it a test? I wouldn't say it's a test. Here's what happens. The drill instructors are told by a higher power, I need three of your recruits to come dig some trench into the center of the earth with a toothbrush. They're given ridiculous instructions like that. The drill instructor then gets to just go grab three. So he asks for volunteers. Don't do it. Don't do it. All right? That's one. Two, make sure you're in shape before you get to boot camp. You will hate yourself if you are not in shape before you get to boot camp. Do not, under any circumstances, show up fat. If you show up fat, your life is going to suck. Not just because PT is going to be harder for you, but because they're going to do to you what they did to so many of my friends. You see, in boot camp, you work out virtually all day long. Even when you're doing things that should be relaxing, they make sure it's physically exhausting. Let's say you have to sit down. All of us are, we're in a big classroom setting and everyone has to sit down. Only there are no chairs. I will make you sit down on the ground. This is what they make you do. Sit down on the Marine Corps. You sit down on the ground and you will have to sit Indian style with your legs spread out a certain way, your back perfectly straight, and your hands on your knees. Doesn't sound bad. Go sit on the floor like that for 20 minutes. Tell me how your back feels. You work out all day, plus the stress level involved of getting screamed at and stuff. So here's the deal. You're hungry all the time. And chow, when you go in and sit down and eat, even though they try to make that miserable too, you can't talk, you can't do anything, you have to just sit there and shovel the food in your face in 5 minutes, they make it miserable. Chows, your one break during the waking day where you're not getting screamed at and abused. So chow is heaven. Sitting down and eating, even Marine Corps boot camp slop food, tastes like $1 million. Doesn't matter what it is. If you're fat, if you show up fat, they'll put you on half rations in boot camp. I am skinny, naturally skinny. I showed up and I started dropping weight way too fast. I was something like 6'4", 180. I was just burning calories all day long. So they put me almost right away on double rations. You've never been hated in your life until you're the Marine in boot camp or the recruit in boot camp who gets double the food of all of your friends. And as you can imagine, I rubbed it in every chance I got. The second the drill instructors would look away or weren't around, I'd be sitting there saying, man, can someone help me finish this? This is almost too much food. Oh, it's the best. But you've also never seen sadness in your life like the fat kid who gets put on half rations. He finally has a moment where he's not getting screamed at and can sit down. And he sits down starving to some minuscule little plate of food that looks like it was for a prisoner in Alcatraz. He just looks like he wants to die and cry. Do not show up fat. Do not volunteer for anything. And most of all, just don't quit. The only guys I saw washed out were guys who just broke and just quit. Just keep going. Keep moving forward. You'll do it. And maybe things have changed now. Maybe they allow you to bring Giza Dream Sheets. That would make boot camp fantastic, Chris. Think about this. Yeah, you're getting screamed at all day and they shaved off all your hair and you've done so many push-ups, your arms are about to fall off of your body. But at the end of the day, you get to slip inside of the most comfortable sheets in the history of mankind, Giza Dream Sheets. And maybe if you're planning for that, you should take advantage of the lowest price ever, as low as $29.98. No, I'm kidding. They're not going to allow you to take them to boot camp, so just get them for your house, okay? Because you're probably not going to boot camp. MyPillow.com, radio listener special square, promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. That's how you get the lowest price ever on Giza Dream Sheets. Go get a couple sets. Colors, styles, sizes. They got all kinds of them, right? Or call them. 800-845-0544. MyPillow. I love me some Giza Dream Sheets. Okay. Someone's trapped in California. Someone wants to do away with the Republican Party. Someone's angry with Ted Cruz. We have red states and blue states. How do we get the communists out? We have so much to get to tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. Hang on.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, if you miss even a single second of the show, that will probably kill you. Because I don't want you to die. I want you to catch every second of the Jesse Kelly Show so you can download the podcast on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. It's all free. Go download the podcast and enjoy me. Enjoy me. Jesse. I won't include the opening flattering salvo like so many others because you know who you are. I just found out that the state of California has a Senate bill, SB 596, that adds on to an existing law that limits and criminalizes a credible threat to a school employee on or off campus. To me, it's an attempt to prevent parents from speaking out. My wife and I do not have kids. I am 100% behind making it legal and local. It would be great if you gave this some airtime so maybe Normie Norm keeps up. Keep up the good fight. You put the red and red, white, and blue. Look, again, this stuff is it's so crazy and it's so outside of the America we've known that it's just going to be hard to digest so much of what we're doing. Remember the blue states, the blue areas now. Let's just make it about California since that's what it was about. There used to be, for the longest time, a brake system on the communists. I want you to think of them like this. Here's a great example. I want you to think of the communists as a gigantic grizzly bear with rabies. So he's just got nothing but rage flowing through his veins, and whatever is put in front of him, he will destroy it and eat it because that's what a communist does. Now, the communists of old were like that too. However, they were always kept relatively caged, or in the very least, there was a glass wall over here on the right and a glass wall over on the left so they can move forward and back. And don't get me wrong, if anyone gets encountered, they're going to get eaten alive. But at some point in time, he's still trapped in the zoo. He's still trapped in the cage. And the reason there used to be some sort of a cage in places like California is there used to be Democrats in the Democrat Party. They're all communists now. You see, Barack Obama, the communist, got elected. He got elected and he was so radical, so far left, that it freaked out America after we passed Obamacare, and America went out, and it's not just that they took back the House for Republicans. If you look at the state-by-state elections, Democrats were virtually wiped out. I know at one point in Obama's presidency, I forget when it was, he had cost Democrats over 1,000 seats in the United States of America. It's not talked about enough how truly unpopular he was. But here's the problem. The Democrats who lost those seats, they were mostly the ones in purple districts. Any kind of moderate Democrat, blue dog Democrat, more old school Democrat, they were the ones losing. If you're in AOC's district, if you're in the Bronx, it was Democrat before, it's Democrat now. It's never going to change no matter what the swing year is. But during that swing, moderate Democrats got wiped out. And moderate Democrats, they were that glass wall holding the grizzly bear in. That glass wall was shattered. It was completely removed. Now, there are no more guardrails. There's no more wall. Therefore, there's nothing they won't do in the end. This goes back to the indictment stuff. It's so awful that people will email in, and they're obviously angry and in pain, and they'll write in, why do you say Trump's going down? These charges are ridiculous. Well, yeah, I know. What does that have to do with anything? Of course they're ridiculous. No, but this is unjust. I know. Yes, I know that. No, but Jesse, no jury would. Yes, they would. Yes, they would. There's when I brought up yesterday, Trump's name being removed from the ballot, like we talked about earlier today, if he's charged with seditious conspiracy, I believe and many believe now that these swing states, you only have to have one or two do it. They'll remove his name from the general election ballot so he cannot win the general election. And you say something like that, and even that, even for some people on the right, it's just too far. They can't wrap their minds around it. I had all kinds of emails saying, Jesse, there's no way they would do that. Jesse, they would never. Jesse, if they did that, we'd look like a banana republic. They took the January 6th people. They charged them with parading. And they utterly destroyed their lives. We are a banana republic. They already sent the FBI into the offices of social media companies to block a story Joe Biden didn't want printed in the New York Post. I am here to tell you there is nothing they won't do. Nothing. Nothing is beyond the realm of possibility for a committed communist, especially now that the guardrails are gone. So back to the original question, in a state like California, where there are no more guardrails, now you will have law after law, rule after rule, regulation after regulation. Every one of them is designed to do one of two things: reward their friends, destroy their enemies. Yes, they plan on putting you in jail if you make a stink at a California school board meeting. There's no question about that. Remember, they hold on to the schools, to their control of the education system. They hold on to that like it's a life raft in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. The communist understands his true strength is his ability to educate your child for 18 years to hate you and hate himself and hate his country. That is the true strength of the Democrats in this country. That's why they want all the young boys feminized. That's why they want all the women single and miserable. That's why they want every black person thinking that they're victims of a horrible racist society. That's why they want gay people thinking they're oppressed and living in Saudi Arabia. They must keep you miserable and angry, and you'll keep voting Democrat every single time. That's how these people operate. There aren't any guardrails now to stop them anymore. There isn't. And even the older ones, who are probably more, in reality, they're probably more on the moderate side. Like Chuck Schumer. Okay, I hate Chuck Schumer. I just despise the guy, New York Senator Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer now governs like a far-left radical. He's always been a piece of trash. Don't get me wrong. I'm not defending the old Chuck Schumer, but He now governs like a full-blown communist. Why does he do that? Because Chuck Schumer is worried about a far-left challenger in the primary. Democrats will do that. Communists will do that. If you're not communist enough, they'll run. Remember, AOC's a congressman now? She's the admitted socialist? She took that seat from a long-established Democrat who wasn't far-left enough for her. She challenged him in a primary and beat him. Now she's going to be in Congress for 30 years. So these guys like Schumer, these older ones, they'll even go hard left just to avoid being taken out by the communists. So there's nothing you can present to them that will make them say, no, that's too far. No, that's crazy. It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild when California starts eliminating gas stations. You know they're going to do that, right? Do you have any idea how many of the goods that come into the United States of America come in through California ports and then are trucked to the rest of the country? Let me clue you in. It's a lot. Maybe pull up a map. Look at that coastline of California. There's just a little bit of it. California, there's nothing stopping them now. All the guardrails and gates are gone. This is all part of why I've just tried to warn you. It's not that I want you to leave paradise. Freaking, who doesn't love California, man? You know, shoot, I've lived there. I love it. You got to get out. I'm sorry. You got to get out. If you don't, well, I mean, when the horrors come, you're there. And that's all there is to it. All right. Speaking of horror, do you know what it's like having a dog that has a digestive issue every time they eat? Of course, that would be Fred. Every single time he ate for, I think this went on for over a year after we got him, he would have an issue. And that's not pleasant. It's not pleasant going through paper towels that like that. It's not pleasant. It got to the point we finally started buying the latex gloves just because I got tired. It's yeah. Thank you, Rough Greens, for fixing Fred's digestive issues. Thank you, Rough Greens, for the fact that you're going to allow that fluffy idiot to now live for who knows how long, because when you start giving your dog real nutrition, pouring Rough Greens on your dog's food, your dog's finally getting vitamins, minerals, omega oils, probiotics. So, Rough Greens, I owe you a debt of gratitude. If you would like your dog to improve health-wise, to live longer, go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. They're giving out free bags, free trial bags. You just pay for the shipping. Or you can call them. 833-33-MY-DOG.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Not going to spend any time on this, but again, Afghanistan, I'm never going to let it go. John Kirby, just the guts of these people.
I think a lot of people are concerned about how it happened, the implementation of the withdrawal, and why it seems so chaotic, and why warnings about suicide bombers might not have been heeded, and the rest.
Look, I think Central Command, who was the overarching military command, did a pretty exhaustive investigation of this, Jake, and they determined that barring any decision that could have impacted mission success, there wasn't much that could have been done to prevent that attack from coming, as tragic as it was.
Just a heads up, that's a lie. We have the testimony from the Marine, the crying testimony that he gave in front of Congress, where he explains, that's the suicide bomber. We've identified him. May we please shoot and kill this guy? And he was given no answer by his command. We know that this suicide bomber could have been drone-striked. That was ignored. Our leadership killed those 13 warriors over there. Shogun, being that we're no longer conservative and no longer Republicans, but happy warriors of the anti-communist party, do you still recommend we stay registered Republicans if only to vote in the primary election? Yes. Yes, but this is where we run into something that I've kind of changed my mind on anymore. I believe in registering as a Republican so I can get involved in the Republican primary process to try to turn the Republican Party into something that actually has testosterone. I believe that that is our best path forward. You, however, might be screaming at me right now and saying, no, the Republican Party is beyond hope. I'm done with it. I'm starting a third party. I'm starting an anti-communist party. I'm voting libertarian. I'm doing any one of those things. And in the past, I would have probably argued with you about that. No, that's crazy. No, that's not. I am now so angry at the Republicans for allowing all this corruption and insanity to take place. I'm so angry at Republicans for joining with Democrats to pass gun control. I'm angry about how Republicans were tyrants, just like Democrats were during COVID. Just thing after thing after thing has me angry about Republicans, the money they spend, the everything. Now, if you come up to me and say, Jesse, I'm done. I'm registering independent. I'm going third party. I'm libertarian. I'm this or that. I would say, oh, I get it. Oh, I get it. I totally get it now. You can't be spit on by the people you trust to protect you over and over and over again without eventually responding. The truth is, for the longest time, we have relied on the Republican Party because they're our only option to try to combat the communists. But on issue after issue after issue after issue, they cede ground and cede ground and cede ground and cede ground and never take any back. And they frankly don't even look interested in taking any back. And it weighs on me, absolutely weighs on me. A whole party of people like this.
And to that end, I also think, look, if I'm president of the United States.
Jesse, what made the Democrat Party more susceptible to communism than the Republican Party?
Well, and I say this as somebody, I actually do like some old school Democrats. I do. People I have huge disagreements on. You probably disagree with me about this, and that's fine. But I have always actually been an admirer of JFK. And I understand all of his personal issues. I do. I get it. From everything I've read and see, I see a man who loved his country. He loved the United States of America, spoke about it often. He was a war hero. He was. Now, you can blame him for the reason all his men were in the water, and that's very fair, but in the water, broken back, putting a rope between his teeth to swim his men to shore, man, I admire that. I admire how anti-communist he was, very against the Soviets. I don't hate older Democrats at all. At all. I very much get them. And a lot of that may be because I come from a construction family. We were never union, but I worked around union guys my whole life. And I just love blue collar union guys. I've always gotten along with them. Those are very much my people. So maybe that's why, like when I think of older Democrats, that's what I think of. Hey, a union guy. The problem is they were more susceptible to communism because the Democrats have always been the ones selling grief, selling the fact that you're aggrieved, you're oppressed, you're something. It has been the party platform in forever. Look, even to what I was just talking about, I just told you my thoughts on union guys, but even that, why are the unions so Democrat? And there's a lot of history there that I realize is more complicated, but one of the reasons they're all Democrat, it's the message. You deserve more. The boss is greedy. You should get more. You're underpaid. That's been the Democrat Party forever. They will find a grievance and they will tell that group of people they're being oppressed and they will hope in the end that gains them more power. Well, what's communism? What is it? I've defined it a million times. What is it? The religion of the malcontent. That's what it is. If you're a communist and you want to create or recruit new communists, you either find somebody, a group of people who are malcontented, or you create a group of people who are malcontented. Either way, you need malcontents. Communists are not happy people. They're not content people. If you ever want to feel good about something, maybe you're feeling down right now. You want to feel better about something? We've mentioned this before on the show. Always keep this in mind. They're so much more miserable than you are. No matter how many political wins they get and legal wins they get, we're sending Trump to prison and all that. No matter how much destruction they get to do, in the end, on a personal level, when you lay your head down at night and you say your prayers and you drift off to sleep, probably a family beside you or whatever, brothers, sisters, parents who love you, friends who love you, you're a content person with a great life. You should understand that every one of these people, they're utterly miserable.
when they go to sleep at night, even with all the money and power and steak dinners and everything else, they are miserable human beings 24 hours a day, because you have to be if you're going to be a communist. You have to be. It's who they are. All right. So how do we get these people out of our state? And somebody's mad at Ted Cruz. Someone wants to talk about the Trump ballot stuff some more. We have all kinds of Ask Dr. Jesse questions still to come. Let's save a child tonight. Let's save a child from human trafficking. The child trafficking that takes place in America is not something widely known. I wish it was known more. I wish people understood that it actually extends well beyond illegal immigrant children as well. American children are trafficked every day. And I don't just mean children from broken homes, normal homes. They get suckered in and recruited online in these social media sites. And soon they find themselves exploited, blackmailed, oftentimes assaulted. If God forbid they go meet, it's really a horrible situation. The Asservo Project, A-S-S-E-R-V-O. What they do is they find these kids and they rescue them. And they find these perps, they find these pieces of trash, and they make sure they're thrown in a dark hole the rest of their lives. That's what I support when I support the Asservo Project. By the way, there's a tip line at theasservoproject.org. You give your $14 a month at theasservoproject.org. Theasservoproject.org. Remember, it's A-S-S-E-R-V-O. All right? $14 a month. That's what they ask for. Getting the commies out of the red states. And so much more. Still an hour left. Hang on.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.